How's it fucking going, everyone? I'm your goddamn host, JC.
And how the fuck is it going on, everyone? I'm your goddamn co-host, JC. I mean, Tim.
Listen now. If you keep taking my name, you're gonna start paying me. My name is big in the industry of...
I already pay you to work here.
Huh. So wait. Am I the one that's gonna be fired always?
No. Like, it was in the contract. I signed a contract while looking at it. And you was like, hey, so don't read the contract. I was like, okay, I didn't read the contract. So now I'm paying money to be a partner.
Guys, speaking of contracts and being fired, and do you like sex?
No. I mean, my ass usually hurts afterwards, but yeah.
And speaking of sex and asses hurting, we're going to go into a little thing called the Whores of Hollywood, guys. And in the film industry, there's a lot of things that go down that aren't particularly good. We get a lot of beautiful music. We get a lot of beautiful productions, like cinematic films. There's a lot of beauty that actually goes within being in Hollywood.
There's a lot of skill that takes talent. Doing something.
Talent, like, skill. I mean, we have some of the greatest actors out there
fucking
right now.
Jack Black. I think The Rock is a really good actor. Zac Efron.
That honestly blows my mind a little bit.
Like, there's so many people. Zach Galifianakis, he's one of my favorite actors. Paul Rudd. Just so many.
Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider. I mean,
fucking Will Ferrell.
The list goes on and on, guys. But where there is good in the world, there has to be bad. The bad is what makes the good more worth living.
And there's so many rumors, speculations, conspiracies, insiders, things that people claim are true. Just, there's so many different kinds of stories about Hollywood, you almost don't know what to believe.
You don't.
But there are more credible stories than others. There's some that sound just completely fucking bullshit. Like, the Illuminati... Like, in all honesty, if you break it down, Illuminati sounds like a bullshit made-up story. But whenever you look at some of the other conspiracy theories, like the people that run Hollywood are a bunch of fucking cannibals, like, that makes more sense to me because it's more realistic.
What I have to say, the Illuminati sounds like something crazy. It does. But for me, it doesn't sound completely untrue. There's a lot of shit. I don't exactly understand everything, but there's gotta be somebody running it, right? Like, okay. So for like the banks and everything, big financial businesses, you have the Rothschilds, the big fucking organizations that they run. And they're some of the richest people in the world. So who's to say that there isn't a bunch of people, a family of people, or one person who runs all of Hollywood? The Illuminati sounds wild, but I think with this craziest shit that happens in this world, it could be true. But guys, before Will Ferrell, before Will Smith, before the whole cast of Adam Sandler's fucking crew, there was a few people in the world who started it all. Judy Garland. You know who that is?
I've heard that name before.
Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yep.
She is Dorothy.
Okay, yeah, I know.
So, Judy Garland had to go through a lot of things. She had to go with, she couldn't eat for a certain amount of days, when if she did, she would get threatened to be fired. And in her case, her family was poor. So her getting fired meant her family didn't eat. There was this thing called a black box that children were put into. The sexual abuse that she had to go through. I mean, at the time when she was 12, she was being groped by men much older than her and being passed down men to men. So Judy Garland started it all. She was the first child actress to really become big. And she did great in her movie. Do you like Wizard of Oz?
Mm-hmm.
I watch it every single. I watch it every single year that it comes on. But guys, we'll go back into her here in just a sec. We're going to go over someone called Shirley Temples. You gotta know who Shirley Temple is, because when you texted me, you asked who when I said that, and it kind of shocked me that you didn't know who she was.
I don't know who Shirley Temple is. I've heard of the drink, Shirley Temple.
The little girl. All right. Guys.
I might know
this
it. You might
dude,
have to explain it.
This dude's never heard of Shirley Temples, but the drink. Okay. So, little girl who sings. No, you know who Little Orphan Annie is, though. Right? Little Orphan Annie. Son of a bitch.
I can't, like, none of these people are coming.
Holy hell.
Like, the faces aren't.
Wow, for someone that's into a lot of old stuff, that's fucking wild that you wouldn't know any of them. Alright, let's inform this guy. So in 1935, film The Little Colony, Shirley Temples tap danced down the staircase with Bill Bojangles Robinson, and into the hearts of millions. The child star was barely able to walk when she made her screen debut as a toddler, but it didn't take long for her iconic curls, precocious attitude, and delightful dimples to win over audiences across the globe. So she started out at a very, like, we're talking toddler, like, crawling around and shit, and keep that in mind how young she is throughout this, okay? Guys, the things that happened to little Shirley Temples is a horrible one, as it is. A lot of things happen to a lot of young girls in the Hollywood industry, and it's sad. But you're going to soon discover how bad it truly gets. Of course, that was also a lot of pressure for someone so young to carry around. But did you know that from the first time she appeared on screen in 1932, she was mistreated, abused both psychologically and sexually? Many people believe that Shirley Temples was surrounded by pedophiles and has gone as far as to say from her earlier movie roles from 1930s. So, 1932, she is 3 years old. So it started out before she was three. But no one really knows that for a fact, guys. So, like, we're not saying, no matter what, it's bad. But we don't know if it happened in the 1930s. It's just there's some accounts that it did. So,
put this.
Yeah, the trash can. So we're gonna say it happened even in the 1930s. So she'd be around, what, one by then or a couple months old?
Probably, like one, maybe two.
Well, in 1932, she was three.
Oh, okay, so...
So 1930, she would be...
Maybe one.
One.
One and a half.
We just want you to fully understand the age, you know?
It's really fucked up.
It's really is kind of... Not even kind of, it's messed up. It is fucked. Many people believe that, you know, like we said, Shirley Temples was surrounded by pedophiles. And we're talking movie producers, executives, assistants, actors, the whole entire industry. It was ran on pedophilia. They liked it. They enjoyed it then. And when you're in the Hollywood business, you have these things called Hollywood secrets. It's things that things that apply to everyone. You know, if you're going to mistreat a child, do it in the studios. Do it on the couch, the famous couch, the casting couch. That's where a lot of little girls and boys were sexually assaulted. But also, there's people in the industry called the fixers. So say a story gets out of a little girl or a little boy getting sexually assaulted, you have the fixers that swoop in and can fix anything. And as we know, Hollywood has millions and millions and billions of dollars. And what we also know is that money can pretty much buy you anything.
Don't believe us? Look up. Look up for yourself the Donald Trump records.
The records are out there. There are records that prove that he paid off family members to drop the court cases and to let it just be brushed under the rug. So apparently money is more valuable than children's safety.
Even though him and Epstein were very close friends.
Yeah, it's really fucked up. So Temples was surrounded by pedophiles and has gone far to say that her early movie roles from 1930s was little more than fonder for perverts. Hollywood then tried to hide the flagrant abuses, but many have been well documented. Shirley Temples wrote an autobiography, Child Star, where she describes several instances of sexual harassment at the hands of Hollywood studio heads. And when we say studio heads, you got the top guys, the ones who run it all, the ones who make all the decisions. So when Shirley Temples appeared in the 1932 War Babies, her first speaking role, she was only 3 years old. The film was one of the Baby Burlesques, a series of 8 shorts that was in the major motion pictures when she started out. It was a 8-part series. And that's where you get your first series of shows, you know. She was able to star in it. It was called War Babies. The film is set in Buttermilk Pete's Calf, where the child performers dance, play music, and drink milk. Shirley is an exotic dancer and does stuff like trade kisses for lollipops and say things like, "I'm expensive," at 3 years old. So you had a guy that would come in and choreograph these dances for a 3-year-old to do, and she was an exotic dancer in it.
So the Hollywood people pretty much had a 3-year-old stripper.
They did. Now, they didn't get naked in the movie or the 8-part series, but they said things like, "I'm expensive," and "I'll give you a kiss if you give me a lollipop." And she also responds when a soldier in a diaper calls her baby, and she definitely is one. Shirley also has her first on-screen kiss with Eugene Butler. He was 38 and she was 3. In her autobiography, Shirley Temple Black describes the series as a clinical exploration of our childish innocence and notes the short films were sometimes racist or sexist. If the children didn't behave according to Charles Lamont's wishes, he kept a soundproof black box dubbed the Punishment Box. It was 6 feet on each side, containing a block of ice. So, not only in the movies, and we're talking movies that were on the big screen, showing all of this horrific shit that was going on, all these bad things happening to a 3-year-old child, no one cared. Everyone got off to it. You had men sitting in their homes getting off to this. But not only did they have to go through that, there was punishments that happened if you didn't do what you were told. So as a 3-year-old, if you cried because you were hungry, if you cried because someone, some asshole, fat fuck, piece of shit, no dick, having ass fucking producer yelled at you, you got stuck in this box, this black box, so it cuts off your vision, and then you have to feel that cold rushing up you, making your legs numb to the point of, you know, limbs. I don't know. If you sit on a block of ice for a long enough time, I'm sure it'll start fucking killing your limbs.
Yeah, what is it? Frostbite.
Frostbite. That's what it's fucking called. But, yeah, it's kind of fucked up. I mean, not kind of fucked up. I keep saying kind of. My bad. It is highly, highly fucked up. Could you imagine that? Like, when you hear of all this stuff, why would you want to be an actor, you know?
I would actually like to be an actor, but I wouldn't want to be like mainstream Hollywood type actor because I've heard some of the stories about what goes on behind the scenes. Like, Have you ever heard the story about Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez? How fucking Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez's careers were fucking starting to die out, and then Justin Bieber and Selena were gonna have a baby. The dude sat them down in a room, and there's like verified footage of them both admitting to the same story without being in the same room. They tell it exactly the same way.
Slow down. Talking really fast.
But Justin Bieber is, like, telling a story, like, whenever he was a kid and him and Selena were going to have a baby, a bunch of Hollywood people, like, brought him into, like, a meeting, like, in a weird room, pretty much. And then they made him watch as they ate his child. Like, his unborn child, pretty much. And then they made them sign contracts, pretty much saying they will do whatever Hollywood wants them to do if they want to avoid it happening again to, like, say, another family member or something, pretty much blackmailing him into not being out of the Hollywood industry.
Do you know where you can find this at for all the listeners out there that want to know?
I can look it up real quick.
Okay. So I'm going to continue reading here in just a sec while he looks that up. But if you notice Justin Bieber lately, and I'm not a big Justin Bieber fan, but I've noticed this, when you look him up when he's younger, he looks like, you know, a handsome kid, right? I mean, he's an attractive kid. I mean, for, you know, people find him attractive. And then, have you seen him lately?
What do you mean lately?
Just pictures of him lately. Have you seen pictures of him lately?
Yeah, he has short hair, like,
he looks bad. I mean, he doesn't look good. So I wonder if that is true. I wonder if that actually did happen to them, because, like, I don't know. If that is true, guys, that is some absolute fucked up shit right there. What would that even benefit? You know, I wonder what that did. Did that show them? Was it like a power move, you think? Like, them eating the baby, was that, like, a power move?
Absolutely.
To show, like, hey, you have to do what we say, you are ours?
Pretty much, they were, I think what it was, is they want him to be afraid of them so that no matter what they want him to do, he'll do it. Because he's so fucking terrified that something is going to happen to either him or his family.
And, I mean, it makes sense that that would happen because a lot of people do like Justin Bieber, so he is a money item.
So this article on Reuters.com, Reuters.com, you can fact check it if you want. Justin Bieber, this is quoted, Justin Bieber told hundreds of people at a Bible study class in Los Angeles that Hollywood elites killed his unborn child and destroyed the relationship he had with the child's mother, Selena Gomez, as a way of punishing him. So, pretty much, they got them into a room. They took her unborn child and fucking ate it in front of him to send a message to him. Just like, hey, you do anything that we don't want you to do, just know we're going to do this to every member of your family.
Because they were probably trying to get out of the industry, having a baby, maybe get out of the industry.
That's what it started out as. Yeah. Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez were going to have a baby, so they're like, okay, we can't be doing all the shit that we're doing right now because we don't have time for it. We got to step down and be parents for a second, mm-hmm. or step up and be parents for a sec.
Which is going to lose them money, you know.
But they already have all the money in the world, so honestly, they don't even need to be famous
anymore. But the industry wants more money. And losing them would cost them.
They a lot of money.
Yeah. Guys, Shirley Temple's achieved international stardom with the release of Bright Eyes in 1934. So a few years after that 8-part series. When she was 12 years old, Shirley signed with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. In her memoir, Child Star, actress Shirley Temple's claimed that an MGM producer known to have an adventuresome casting couch. This is the couch that I was talking about in the beginning. The couch where many young girls and boys lost their virginity. so, the MGM producer was adventuresome. Had an adventuresome casting couch. He unzipped his pants, unzipped his trousers, and exposed himself to her during their first meeting in 1940. Being innocent of male anatomy, she responded by giggling, and he threw her out of his office, said the actress's obituary. Okay, yeah.
Is she dead?
She's dead now, yeah. She's dead.
Yeah, 1930s, yeah. Never mind.
She died in 2014.
And she lived for a long time.
Yeah. But so that was her first encounter with Metro Goldwyn Mayer, which is his name. The MGM is a production company, which I'm pretty sure MGM is still around, actually. I think.
MGM brand.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, like at the beginning of the movie, sometimes you'll see the production name and one of them has MGM, or you'll have Fox or whatever and all that.
Yeah, like UFC fights sometimes have MGM Grand or something like that pop up.
Well, it might be them too. So they're still around.
I wouldn't be surprised if Dana White was fucking getting in on that.
But guys, then there was another person named Anatia Colby. He was an artistic director for producer David Ol Zelznick of Gone with the Wild Wind fame. She warned Temples, this Anatia, which is her name, warned Temples to be careful if she found him, Zelznick, in stockings. So, like, if the producer was wearing stockings, then that meant something. Something not good. Not good at all. Temple writes in her autobiography, Child Star, that this gave her an impression that casual sex could be a condition of employment. Could you imagine? So you go into Walmart or something, you know, and what you have to do is suck Ron's dick to get employed. He's like, all right, you got all the qualifications. I like the way you look, but how's that mouth work?
Well, goddamn, Aldi's only wanted me to lick the balls. I'm thinking about going there for employment.
Cheddar's wants you to lick the asshole, though. If you ever go to Cheddar's, they're just like, hey, you gotta ream me in the ass with your tongue.
But Wendy's, they're like, hey, when these nuts hit your chin, you're gonna be hired.
At least McDonald's is nice. All you gotta do is fondle a few tits.
Yeah, yeah. McDonald's.
All about fondling.
That's why everyone starts out at McDonald's.
Yeah, they're cozy. But guys, all jokes aside, man, it's a bad place. Don't be a child actor is all I'm saying, man. Because sometimes to get the job, you do have to have sex. It is what it was then. I still feel like it is like that today, though. I feel like that hasn't changed. I feel like they've just got better at hiding it. Even though a lot of weird shit's been exposed in the past 4 fucking years and shit. I mean,
when Jeffrey Epstein and the flight logs, everyone that's associated with the flight logs, everyone that's associated with Epstein's name in general, like all of the fucking secret files and all the secret case
but
files.
But more on the flight logs, it has a bunch of actors and actresses and directors and shit.
Pretty much everyone on it is just famous people that are involved somewhat in mainstream media or Hollywood coverage.
And Tim's about to talk to you about this thing called the Pizzagate. He'll talk to you about that here in just a sec, too. But she also tells a hair-raising story of David O. Zelznick literally chasing her around his office, expecting his due as her boss. So not only this dude has a fucking casting couch, but he expects something out of his employees. So coming around my side of the desk, he reached down and took my hand in his. Glancing down, I saw the telltale stocking feet. So he had his stockings on. Pulling free, I turned from the door, and even more quickly, he reached back over the edge of his desk and flicked a switch that I learned from Colby was a remote door locking device. I was trapped, like a cartoon of Wolf and Piglet. Once again, we circled in reverse directions around his furniture, blessed with the agility of a young dancer and confronted by an enormous an amorous but overweight producer. I don't know what amorous means. What does amorous mean? Do you know?
Where is it?
Amorous? What does amorous mean? A-M-O-R-O-U-S.
An amorous.
Either way, the dude was amorous but overweight producer. I had little difficulty avoiding passionate clumsiness. So he was big, she was small, used to dancing, so her agility was a lot better. She was able to get away from him.
Amorous, showing or feeling or relating to sexual desire.
So a sex-filled fat fuck was chasing her around.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, wild. Temple launched her prolific acting career when she was a child, but the star's age didn't stop men from making sexual advances toward her. The little girl was regularly groped, threatened, and terrorized by men. So that's the story of Shirley Temples, guys. A lot of things happened to her. She had to go through a lot, but there is good news out of all the fucking badness. She did die at around 80-something years old. She had a great adulthood. She had a lot of money. The only bad thing, she had a really bad addiction to cigarettes.
I'd fucking be addicted to crack if I was her.
You guys can look up her father. Her mother and father were actually good people. They weren't bad people. Her father was worked at a bank, but then during her time as an actor, in her young age, the Great Depression came over. So her family was going through the Great Depression. Shirley Temples had to go through a lot of that shit.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm sure I already know the answer. If you were struggling for money to the point to where you knew you could not make it whatsoever, lose your house, everything, even in those circumstances, if your daughter was like, hey, I'm doing this, you probably wouldn't fucking let it happen. You wouldn't. I know you wouldn't, because you know you're a good person, and good people don't let their children go through something, even if it is at the... Even if it means that in the end it's better for the family, well, it's going to cause that person more grief.
That is true, but also a lot of these parents didn't know what was going on. Because when they were getting punished there, the punishment was also, if you tell any of your parents what's going on, you will be punished more.
I wouldn't have let my kid out of my fucking sight.
Exactly, you shouldn't.
Just, I would be there at all given fucking times, just, hey, where are you taking my child? Yeah, in that fucking back room right now, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
I will fucking kick that door down and cut your throat out,
just,
bud.
I will literally kill every single fucking person that even looks at her the wrong way.
Exactly, and that's what a good, reasonable parent would do. And
in that regard, that's why I'm saying her parents weren't that good.
That's true. That is true.
They may have been hardworking parents who didn't know any better, but ignorance is still ignorance.
That is absolutely true. Before we go into this next thing, Pizzagate.
Pizzagate. So, there's a conspiracy. It's not even a conspiracy. It's proven now. It's literally in the records. There's no debating against it. Anybody that says any different, just know, from my heart, probably from his heart too.
Absolutely.
They are fucking retarded. Multiple syllables.
You want a hit of this? You want
I'm going to take a hit, and then I'm going to explain exactly what Pizzagate is. Ooh, good old bong grips.
Pizzagate, sponsored by piece of shit politicians.
Okay, so Pizzagate. It is an organization that was ran by a bunch of corporate elites. They started a business as a front, like a cover-up for child sex trafficking. So they ran a pizza company, and this is how this started out. It eventually turned into something much bigger. And, like, it's so big, you have to do hours and hours and hours of research just to know a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's big.
But I've done my research on it because it truly interests me. It's fucking morbid, but, like, it's something I want to know more about.
Mm-hmm.
So they started a front, a Pizzagate. People would place their orders as if they're trying to order a pizza. They'd say, hey, I want a large with pepperonis and, you know, the usual stuff. Or something like that. They would have codes. But they would actually sell pizza too, so they wouldn't seem
suspicious.
Like, illegitimate.
Yeah.
So these high-up individuals would send these special codes out in the form of pizza orders. And say, like, you want a small pepperoni pizza with anchovies on it or something. That is code for, I want, like, an 8 year old.
8 year old redheaded, blue eyed girl.
Yeah, like, and each individual menu item meant a different specific type of girl, which means that they had so many little girls to traffic, they could literally categorize them by something as simple as the color of their hair, or something as simple as having freckles or having no freckles. Guys,
this also means that there is a whole separate job out there for people who strictly take these girls.
And some people say that Wayfair is connected to Pizzagate because mm-hmm. Pizzagate was found out. And some people think that the same people that are doing the Wayfair shit that was found, they think that some people from there were the ones that were doing
Pizzagate. They shouldn't even think it, because in all reality, when it comes to sex trafficking and shit, it's all the same thing. It's all the same people. It's just one or a group of people run it, and they have employees. Now, hold on. Wayfair, before he goes on, the reason he says it's just like Pizzagate is because Wayfair, you would order a certain item on their website, and then you would get a child.
And how they caught on to it was because one person happened to notice it. One person was scrolling through random shit on Amazon one day through Wayfair, and they was looking for a cabinet, and they noticed that each individual cabinet was an absurd price compared to the picture of it. Like, they've seen the actual one that the picture of it is, and it's only like $800, $700, something like that. And they see these, and the names on them are like Shania Brown or something like that.
Coded text
with, like, missing children's names. And she pieced it together whenever she was looking up the names of each individual item. And they're all of missing children. And each one of these items are, like, $13,000, $14,000 for just a simple cabinet. Uh-huh. And she was like, okay. And then, so she fucking call someone about it, and then there's an investigation that's ran, and it's found out that, yes, it was actually true. Kids were literally being fucking shipped out from a big-ass company through Wayfair using just the regular online shopping. Like, if you were a person and you were to accidentally stumble upon that one day while it was still going on, you could have literally bought a child and it would have showed up at your doorstep.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. It's just, so Pizzagate, in my opinion, is connected to Wayfair. I think that they're one and the same.
I bet you had, it went on for a while. I bet you had to have, like, a code, though, before you bought it.
See, but I feel like that would just make it more suspicious, and that's what they're trying to avoid.
That is true.
And the reason that they mark the price so high is because no normal person is going to pay that much for just a fucking cabinet.
The main way that this stuff is happening, the main way that people are being bought, is from the dark web. The dark web is a big fucking content seller for it. Like, you go on the dark web and you have many, many, like, hundreds of different thousands of things that you can do on there. Come to sex trafficking, to murders, to hiring hitmen, to hiring people to do sex trafficking.
And the people on the dark web, this ain't even going to be a dark web episode, but there's something I gotta say. The people on the dark web that, like, operate websites on that shit, there are some really, really fucked up individual, like, twisted people that aren't morally sane. Like, they should not be in society, but yet they are not only in society, but able to get away with some of these heinous acts that they post online for anybody else to see.
Yeah.
Fucking the red rooms on the dark web. You fucking get into a red room on accident. There's a motherfucker literally tracking your IP address within split seconds. They have your number, your address, your fucking plate number, everything.
And it's not like they won't actually come to your place, because you as an individual are money in some way. If they can't use you as sex, they'll take your organs.
And they're pretty much like a military.
Yeah.
It's like a military of people that are trained in how to get away with
shit. You have, like, the cartel, and you have, like, ex-military people who are actually being... Because you can buy an ex-military person, pay him enough, and as you know, all these crimes pay that much. They'll pay that person in their skill. So if they're really good at kidnapping people, like, at one point they were in Afghanistan, they were good at breaching at night, We'll say that person wants to go onto the dark web and say, hey, I'm a trained military officer. They can get paid to go do these crimes.
And a lot of these kids, when they go missing, people think to themselves probably like, yeah, they were probably abducted for sex trafficking or something like that. But it gets much worse than that, actually. It does. Much, much worse. Like, you can go into a room on dark web right now. You could randomly stumble into a room where there is a fucking one-year-old child strapped to a chair while they're pouring acid on its head, watching its skin just fucking melt off of its head, and people pay to see this shit.
And it's called torture rooms, and what you do is you pay a certain amount, and then you get to tell the torturer, when he's getting paid to do this, you pay the torturer to do certain things, and it could be a variety of hundreds of things. So that's why we're saying, guys, you really, really gotta pay attention to what you're doing in life. These kids did not have somebody who was looking after them. You gotta look after your kids, and you gotta be safe about things.
It's not as simple as just watching what they do. You gotta watch what you do, too, because any little thing that you do can have consequences, no matter if you think you can or not. You can go onto the dark web right now and not even go onto a fucked up website, but the person running the website, you don't know if they're a fucking psychopath or not. They find out who you are, and like I said, find out all of your information through simply just hacking into your shit. They know your kids' names, they know your family's names, they know your family's addresses, they know what your car looks like, they know your plates. Every single thing. And it's a matter of one fucking day. They may not be near you, but they can call someone who fucking is, I guarantee it.
They know a lot of people because fucking it's international and...
Every state, every country, every continent is connected to the dark web. And it's like one gigantic organization all working together in separate areas to accomplish one goal, which is to fuck up whatever civilization... or chance of prosperity and happiness can be.
But guys, with all of that, and before we go into our next category, we got this category, and it's a good category, because we've been talking a lot about a lot of fucked up shit and a lot of scary stuff in the world, and it's something you guys need to know about. You need to know about the world out there, and that's why I highly encourage, learn to help self-defense. Learn how to get out of situations. There's classes you can take. Go sign up for them if you go get security. But guys, with all the fucked upness in the world, there are some great things in this world. You want to know one of them? Do you want to know one of them, Tim? Can I tell you one of them?
All right, so hey, can I guess what it is?
I guess.
All right. Picking your nose on a nice, good old fucking dry day, so where you get a dry booger. Go and you fucking pick it out, boom, you flick it, it goes into the wind while you're in your car, it lands on the first behind you's windshield.
is that your envisionment of a nice day?
Oh yeah, yeah, I have great times doing that. Never had a bad time while doing it.
But let me ask you, you may have been picking your nose on a dry day, but have you ever picked your nose on a dry day on weed?
I have not.
All
right,
well.
Let's fucking try it right now. Let's get into a car, full speed, 140 miles an hour, right off the rip in 6 seconds. And then flick a booger out. And let a 140 mile an hour booger hit someone in the forehead. Preferably on a bicycle.
Well, guys, this is my favorite segment. It's Weed of the Week, guys. And what I have for you guys today... I really wish we had, like, a sound effect. Guys, I know we don't have all the technology that I want, but eventually we're going to have some shit. Like, I want to go get, like, a soundboard and everything, and we're going to have that whole... How do you do it? You do it. Okay.
Nope, my bottle ran out.
Oh, fuck.
It's a cheap can.
But, guys, Tim's going to look something up for me.
What am I looking up?
Look it up.
Look it up.
Purple ribbon. Two B's. I figured out ribbon spelled with two B's.
I bet you also thought it was spelled with a fucking E. You're fucking fired.
No, I had the I. I just have the extra B. Purple ribbon is the name of the strain.
I'll give you a B. Be nice. Be kind. Be courteous. Be less rapey. Purple strain is an indica dominant hybrid with around 15.5 THC. It has medium potency and isn't high in THCV and CBD, both appetite-suppressing cannabinoids, making this a fantastic choice for remedying appetite loss. This is not wasting syndromes without being cerebrally overwhelmed. Purple Ribbon Cannabis strain is good for daytime and evening usage. Purple Ribbon Cannabis' strain high is fantastic for kicking back on the couch with an array of snacks or going out to your favorite restaurant with some friends filled with giggles and ravenous munchies.
So while you were talking at 100 miles an hour, I didn't catch what it was crossed with.
Purple Ribbon Cannabis strain is an indica-dominant hybrid with around 15.5% THC. I do not think that it has been crossbred. I think this is a purebred.
Well, it was...
It says indica-dominant hybrid, but it doesn't say another strain.
Okay. I thought I was...
Oh, okay. The lineage is Purple Ribbon Cannabis is a cross between Granddaddy Purple and Green Ribbon.
Granddaddy Purple and Green Ribbon?
Okay. That explains why it's so fucking good.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing. Like, it'll fucking shut you down at night.
Bro, this tastes like flavor.
Whoa.
Holy shit.
It's so good, I see flavors.
My taste buds taste flavor. Whoa.
So, guys,
my flavor sensors are oversensified.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a randomizer.
All right.
I think. Is there a certain way that you do it?
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to get our text message going. We're going to get our little text box going right here. Boom. Fucking JC up on the Fizzone. Boom. You get this in.
Don't
you
text. Can't text. Oh, yeah, you can. No, you can't text me.
Oh, I'm not.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So what I do. What's a random word?
Hold on.
No. Name three random letters. And I'm going... No, name five random letters, and I'm going to start a sentence using each one of them letters. I'm just going to use the predictive text. So, A. Boom. First word would be and. Then the second one would be B.
Yeah.
Well, actually, how this is supposed to be done. You type in the first word, then you type in one other word, and then...
I got you.
And then it uses the... See, like, and was the first word, but it went to, and okay. It's also Hallows Eve to
go
me.
Go back, all the way. Put in sewage, and then... Can I pick words?
Yeah.
Can you do sweaty balls?
All right.
Or infected clitoris?
Sewage and the...
Infected balls.
Sweaty.
Sweaty balls.
Wait, infected?
No, and sweaty balls. The infected was for the infected clitoris.
Sweaty balls.
So what do we got so far?
Sewage and the sweaty balls. Ran. Do you want were or are? Or have?
Were.
Were, not, in the, all right.
Best.
So, sewage and sweaty balls were not the best for me. I can tell you that it was not the greatest.
Okay.
But what I was thinking is that we could use random words to, like, ad-lib this shit.
I got an idea. Mad Libs.
Mad Libs?
We're gonna play a game of Mad Libs real quick.
Alright, you want me...
Because, guys, this is going to be a two-part podcast, so we're gonna finish this up.
Okay, Google. Let's play Mad Libs.
Okay, getting Mad Libs.
Guys, have you ever played Mad Libs? If you...
This is Mad Libs.
You really need to get some really good weed from a nice dispensary.
Let's write a story together.
Wherever your dispensary is, ours is in Colorado. But
You should play some Mad Libs. It's a fucking game for you.
All right, so Mad Libs Collection, Mad Libs Mini, Vacation. Okay, Vacation Fun Mad Libs. Let's fucking do it.
Put on your thinking cap. This story needs 17 words. First, I need an adjective.
Infected.
How about an adjective?
Crinkly.
Okay. Crinkly.
Tell me a place.
Your mom's asshole.
Say an animal plural.
So many fucking monkeys.
So many. Okay.
Four down. I need a verb ending in ing.
Fucking.
Alright, we got bugging.
Tell me a plural noun.
Huge dildos.
I won't do fucking.
Tell me an adjective.
Horny. Nice.
Say the name of a person in the room.
Jesus Christ.
Nice. I like that one, okay.
Nine words left. Give me a plural noun.
Prostitutes.
Halfway done. Give me a noun.
Gigantic, bulbous, humongous dildo.
I feel like you could have done a better one.
Yeah.
How about a plural noun?
It's okay. Kittens. Maybe add a sweet one in there every now and again. I don't know.
Tell me a plural noun.
Satanists. Is that good?
Five words to go. Say an adverb.
Voluntarily.
It's gonna be wild.
Give me a last name, plural.
Rodriguez.
Zeus.
Tell me a noun.
Nipple rings.
It's plural.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
I need a silly noise.
Jinkies.
Last word. How about a silly noise?
Fart noise.
This man just shat himself.
And we're done. Now I'll read it. The title of this one is Ghost Story. Once there was a little kid who went on an infected hike through a crinkly forest in the middle of your mom's ass. At first, he had fun watching the cute little so many f***ing monkeys go bugging through the trees and talking to the huge dildos that dodged between the bushes. Then it began to get horny. Soon it was night, and this kid whose name was Jesus Christ realized he was lost, and he got very frightened. His prostitutes began to chatter and he wished he were home with his daddy and gigantic bulbous humongous dildo. Suddenly he noted that the huge trees began to look like kittens and they seemed to reach out their Satanist to grab him. Then he saw a weird shape floating in the air and glowing voluntarily. It made a scary noise and said, "I am the spirit of the last of the Rodriguez. I am lonely haunting this forest alone, and I came to find some nipple rings to help me." Then it went jinkies and the kid said, "Fart noise," and that was the last anyone ever heard of him. That was a lot of fun. Do you want to do another?
That was good. We don't have too much more time, guys. That may have been one of the most interesting Weed of the Weeks that we have done, because that...
That was Weed of the Month.
Guys, Seriously, just Mad Libs, like when you're fucking getting roasted and toasted, man. Fuck it. It's a good time pass. We used to do it while we were at work a lot. I actually remember when we fucking found that shit, dude. We were just looking up what cool shit you could do with your phone, and it was like Mad Libs.
And we were fucking coming up with some of the most fucked up one-liners ever.
Oh, when they're the more fucked up you can get, the better the story goes.
Okay, so what's the difference between a car and a priest?
Huh.
The car doesn't run when a kid gets in it.
Guys, I will tell you one thing. We will make a lot of fucked up jokes, but we absolutely don't believe in the jokes we make. So just hold in there. Our podcasts are going to start getting a little more vulgar. Like, I get, like, we're vulgar in our podcast, but we're going to start getting a little more vulgar because who gives a fuck, man?
Hey, James.
What?
What do you call two ninjas fucking?
What?
Fucking ninjas.
Oh, God, is that the actual joke? Or that's a lot worse. So there is a movie out there called Gay Space Wiggers Changed the Wiggers to from Outer Space.
No, what? Should I take? Should I?
Probably not. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Also, I'm not going to take the gamble.
I wouldn't. I would. If we can get an actual... Guys,
but it's
let's just say if we had a black guy with us, like a friend with us, he would be able to completely say what the name of that movie was. But look it up.
Gay Wiggers from Outer Space.
Look it up. It's wild that that's actually a movie.
Yeah. There was no part two. I looked it up.
No. Apparently a lot of people watched it, though.
Good reviews.
This is the end of part one, guys. This is the Horrors of Hollywood, part one. We will be right back-to-back with you, so... what?
Bigotry doesn't have symmetry, but geometry has mathematics, and if mathematics are only for asthmatics, then asthmatics can't have asthmas because they don't have maps to lead them to where they need to go, which is to the cave of light, and then the light shines onto you, but you can't see your shadow, and you wonder why, and then you're like, whoa, where'd my shadow go? But little do you know your shadow is an actual other person from a different dimension, and at the same time you're saying, whoa, where'd my shadow go? He's like, whoa, where'd my shadow go? So actually you're just a shadow of something else that you think is your shadow. Well, this has been The Glitches.
And whenever you can't sleep at night... Repeat that over and over. You'll go to sleep because that was fucking boring. It was fucking useless. I actually liked it.
I fucking quit.
I fucking hope you do. I
fucking quit.
I hope you get fucked on your way home. By
really,
a dude.
Do you really?
Big
though?
Dude.
Like, really?
Like, I'm going to pay him to. Or find him. There's probably an ad on Craigslist somewhere. Just, hey, I'll help stalk your friend and fuck him.
Dude, there's people that make ads on Craigslist for them to get literally eaten, like parts of them chopped off, and like them voluntarily being eaten.
I'll hire that person for you. Keep fucking around, bud.
Yeah, but usually they fucking fuck up the person that hires them.
Why? I'll wear a mask.
Because you paid them to do that.
I'll wear a mask. They'll never know who I am.
They'll just kill you with a fucking mask on.
No.
Just, hey, this guy. I bet that's it.
Listen, I'll tell them to meet me at this barn. They'll walk in this barn, there will be a bulletproof glass, and I'll be behind it. And then I'll be like, alright, here's your money. I'll give them the money, then I'll pull a lever, and it'll shoot me down this chute, you know, like a trap door, and I'll just shoot to my safety, and it'll pop me out to my car, and I'll get in my car, drive away, and they'll never know. But previously, before I've done that, I've already burned my shit. Like, I already burnt my house down. I'm gonna be homeless until I get a new home.
I have an app on my phone that's called Burn Your House Down from Your Car.
So just know, keep fucking around, that dude's coming for you. I got a plan. But isn't it wild that you can literally find that on the dark web, guys? This isn't a dark web episode, but it still portrays to this because a lot of Hollywood actors do it. So I don't recommend going to the dark web, but look up stories about it.
Yeah, like, if you don't believe us about anything that we've said...
Go on the dark web.
Just look it up, man. Like, it's fucking insane. It's gnarly. There's thousands of stories out there.
Just prepare yourself for a bad time and hope you're ready for it. But I hope you don't have a bad time because you're my listeners, and this is The Glitches. Guys, I'm JC, and I'm your host.
And I am Tim, and I am your co-host with the most...